Our troubled Savior, then, comforts his troubled disciples. And part of his message to them, his comfort to them, is this: disciples, I indeed am leaving you this night. But since I am leaving, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, is coming. Verse 26. This is huge. This means that though the hostility is about to break out as never before, yet, says our Lord, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Indeed, disciples, really, you ought to rejoice that I'm going to the Father. And then he calls the disciples, he especially calls them to believe this. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. And right at that point, as the disciples undoubtedly are pondering things here, he makes that attention-grabbing statement. Not simply, I don't have much to say anymore. Rather, my time to speak with you is nearly gone. Time is running out. Why is that? Well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he knows that Judas Iscariot is on his way. But notice how he puts it. I will no longer talk much with you because the ruler of this world is coming. In other words, not just Judas, not just an armed search party, but the ruler of this world, Satan. No, not the ruler of this creation, rather, the ruler of the world of sin, the world that is hostile to God. He's coming. Disciples, I will no longer talk much with you because the time has come for the final showdown between Satan and me. And our Savior knows what this will involve. No, this will not simply be a matter of some hand-to-hand combat or something like that. No, no, there's a lot more involved. Notice how Jesus adds, he has no claim on me. Literally, it says there, Jesus says, in connection with me, he, that's Satan, does not have anything. That's legal language. This assumes, you could say, a court case. This assumes leveling of charges, making of allegations. The ruler of this world is coming, and he is going to level all kinds of charges. He's going to make all kinds of allegations. He will use every trick that you can find in the book to make me look guilty, to make me look worthy of rejection, to make me look worthy of the most horrible punishment ever. And here we can think of the Old Testament, at least two occurrences. Think of Satan appearing before God to accuse Job. And so think of what we just read in Zechariah 3, where Joshua, the priest, remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the ultimate high priest. Joshua the priest stands there. He indeed can be justly charged by Satan. His clothes are filthy, symbolizing sin and guilt. But back to Jesus. It will not look good. Satan will try to stir up false witnesses. He will stir up charges of blasphemy. He will get the people to cry out en masse, crucify him, crucify him. He will twist scripture in mocking ways to testify against him. And even though Jesus is God's own Son, the Father will not come to his rescue. Rather, he will allow it to happen. The charges, the mockery from those who pass by, from the rulers, from the two criminals on the cross beside him. Indeed, worse yet, God will turn his face away from him. It will become dark for 3 long hours, which means he will end up hanging on a cross in excruciating pain for hours on end. He will even die and be buried. And our Lord was not at all oblivious to what was coming. He saw right through Judas Iscariot. And again, it's no wonder he was so troubled. But notice again what he says, and that's our second point. He rises with a holy determination. Again, he says, he has no claim on me. Literally, indeed, in me, he does not have anything. Oh, I know, he will come with the clever charges and make things look very bad for me. But my disciples, the reality is this, when it comes to me, he does not have anything. What's the Lord saying here? Well, during his earthly ministry, Jesus made clear time and time again, he had come into this world to serve the cause of his Father. And Jesus now basically says, whatever the evil one will say, faithfully serving the Father is what I have done. We can think here of the temptations that he endured when he began his earthly ministry. Satan tempted and tempted and tempted, but I remained faithful. In fact, my disciples, that's how it has gone throughout my ministry. And every disciples, there will indeed now be quite a showdown which you will witness. But understand this, I am entering this showdown having been faithful to my Father all along in every single regard, in every single circumstance. Now, why does Jesus say that? Is he bragging here? No. Rather, two reasons. First of all, he's simply stating reality. And secondly, he's also thereby instructing and comforting his disciples. Disciples, as the storm breaks, it will not look good. But see and understand this, disciples, in spite of his twisting my words, trying to make me appear like an imposter, he does not have anything on me. So what will you see happening? And that's important to get. No, you will not see Satan being proven right. Rather, if you look at things properly, you will see in these very most difficult circumstances as well that I am holding to the mandate the Father has given me to serve as your Savior. That I am submitting myself to the wrath of God in your place. And I am doing this in front of the world of sin very publicly as it mocks me. As it tries to discredit me. Disciples, that is what is truly going on. And then in these words, we also hear, you could say, a holy determination. No, my disciples, he has no claim on me at this point. And that is how I will keep it to the very end. We can hear that determination in those last words. Rise, let us go from here. Disciples, though troubled, I am ready. Rise. Let's go from here. And that brings us to our final point. Of course, we know what happened. Yes, he suffered. He was crucified, utterly humiliated. He was buried. But on the third day, the Father, who for some time had turned his face away, he raised him up from the dead. Death simply could not hold him under anymore. It simply could not make any claim on him anymore. And the angels in Revelation, they cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Now, beloved, do you know what this means for us today in this service now as we are here together worshiping Him? See, our Lord came into this world and He rose up to meet that evil one in our place. And because He could say, to the very end, "He has no claim on me," therefore He says to us today as His people, and Satan therefore does not have anything on you either. Despite how it sometimes feels, despite how it sometimes appears, despite even if perhaps you see death drawing near. My people, I know you have sinned, whereas I never did. I know the reality of your sinful natures, which I never had. But for all those who believe in me, the accuser does not have any claim. No, this is not something that the evil one wants us to hear. In fact, he will try anything to get us away from that, to get us to try to doubt that. But over against that, we today may hear our Savior comforting us with the tokens of His broken body and shed blood. My child, as truly as you eat the broken bread and drink the wine, looking to me, so surely you may know that He has no claim on you. Indeed, beloved, our Lord was so determined. Why? So that He today can say that and sign that and seal that to us. This is marvelous. Beloved, take it in. Let it sink in deeply and marvel at what the reality truly is. Amen.